fan.
It's time for Packers preview again. Talking about the pack on KFAN. The Super Bowl, we're gonna win again. According to your host, David Sinekin, we'll win on the road. We'll win at home. We'll even win in
U.S. Bank Stadium.
Vikes fans can call if you've got the balls. The Packers Preview Show.
Time now for year 26 of Packer Preview, presented by Hudson Ford. Now, from the KFAN studios, here's the head cheese himself, Dave Sinekin.
Good morning, Packer fans, and welcome to the Week 6 edition of Packer Preview on the Sports Leader and the home of the Vikings, the Fan Radio Network, iHeartRadio. Wonderful to be with you, as always, this Sunday morning as we get you set for Bears Week. Packers-Bears, Soldier Field, noon kickoff, meeting number 203. It's football the way it was meant to be played. The league's oldest rivals go at it once again. It used to be quite a rivalry back in the day when I was a kid, and my dad would put me on his knee and tell me about how great the Bears are. Those days long gone, as the Packers have dominated the series ever since Brett Favre took over at quarterback. You know all this. We will dive into the matchup today. Injuries certainly will play a part. A new quarterback for the Bears obviously plays a part. And we'll also welcome a guest today. Jeff Hughes will join us. He joined us last season as well. He writes Da Bears blog. Huge Bears fan, and he will come on his usual optimistic self and talk about his 3-2 Bears, surprising 3-2 Chicago through 5 weeks. We'll take your calls later in the program as well. Before we get into the matchup and today's game, let's go back for a moment to what we witnessed last Sunday, if we can. Well, I'm sure most of you witnessed it. I tweeted this and I talked about it with PA on Monday. I actually could not watch the final kick. I left, I don't even know the last time I've done this. I left my room, went across my house so I was out of earshot, waited about 60, 90 seconds, walked back into my family room, and the Cowboy game was on, which told me Crosby made the kick because they'd still be playing if he had missed the kick. I couldn't do it. So I rewound and I watched, and sure enough, from 49 yards, Crosby got well, and the Packers win. I couldn't believe that LaFleur even brought him out to kick that ball. It was 4th and inches. It was like a 49-yard kick, right? And we know what was going through his head right now. It was scrambled eggs, right? So if I'm LaFleur, I'm handing the ball to Dillon, getting a first down and getting as close as possible, if not just scoring, rather than trotting Crosby out again. It's hard to understand what to make of that situation. 27 straight field goals. He doinks the extra point early. Okay, happens. Windy day. Then he makes 3 of them. So it's not even in our head. That extra point was a long, distant memory. And then 3 straight misses. It was Detroit 2018 all over again. And maybe by making the game winner, we're through it and we're not going to worry about it again. But man, what an afternoon in Cincinnati, and you know, throughout the week, a lot of attention placed on what happened, and it's not all Crosby for certain. The holder, the snapper, we've seen the right side of that line struggle with protection. It's just not a great, smooth-running operation right now, and they got to get that figured out for sure, because this Packer team, as we'll talk about, has struggled mightily in the red zone, unlike last year, and settling for a lot more field goals. And I think a lot of it's play calling, and we'll talk about that as well. But, well, we've come to rely on Mason Crosby, obviously, and don't want that to be an issue, for sure. They got the job done. They got the W. What was lost in all that craziness was the first time in Packer history we had a 300-yard passer, a 200-yard receiver, and a 100-yard rusher all in the same game. That's a pretty nice accomplishment. Devontae's 200-yard game was just incredible to watch. 11 catches for 206, the touchdown. Aaron Jones busts a 57-yard run to get over the 100-yard mark. And how about A.J. Dillon catching 4 passes for 49 yards and a touchdown and suddenly showing that, yeah, he's not a one-trick pony. He can catch the ball, too, to make the defenses have to think about that as well. And then defensively, I thought the team played really well. Outside of that blown play where Burrow had about 25 seconds at the end of the first half, and that 16-7 lead that looked so comfortable suddenly got cut to 16-14 on the bomb to Ja'Marr Chase, kind of a mixed bag of blown coverage, too much time, no pass rush. Outside of that play, I was really pleased with the defense. Devondre Campbell continues to lead that unit with nine tackles. You just see him all over the place. And when he got the interception in overtime, that should have been the game winner. But that followed a Crosby miss, and we kept on playing. But a terrific game by him. Amos had a pick, too. Packers got it done. It wasn't always pretty, but they got the win. Four straight wins now. They're 4-1. And here we go. Soldier Field. Packers lead the series now 101-95-6. This is the 50th game played in this series at Soldier Field. And since the 2010 championship game, the Packers have gone 17-3 against the Chicago Bears. We know that Rodgers has owned this club 21-5 in his career. And one of those losses, of course, he broke his collarbone in the first series, and that was a loss. So starting and finishing, he's 21-4, 55 touchdowns, 10 picks. No one in NFL history has owned the Chicago Bears. Well, maybe the McCaskey family, more than Aaron Rodgers. 105.2 passer rating career, that's number one all-time against the Bears. And, you know, since Favre came around, the Packers have played three quarterbacks against the Bears. Favre, Rodgers, and then Brett Hundley had to play once the year that the collarbone was broken. This will be the 20th quarterback that the Packers will face for Chicago in that time as Justin Fields makes his fourth start. And we'll talk a lot about Fields, that offense, and where the Bears are right now, because at 1-2, you know, it looked like, all right, it's going to be an ugly season with a rookie quarterback starting and sort of changing of the guard for Chicago. But they beat Detroit, then they go to Las Vegas, and you know, I really don't know much what to make of their win over the Raiders. Certainly surprising, but in light of what was happening with that organization last week, you just have to wonder what was in the minds of those players on Sunday. Yep, they still had a head coach in John Gruden, but the news had broken, and those players had read those emails, and a lot of them were affected very personally by what Gruden had written. So I don't know what to make of the Bears' win. To give them credit, it's a W. I think they caught the Raiders at a great time. And we'll see where the Raiders go from here. But the Bears are 3-2. That's what their record says. And that's what they are. And they're coming back home with a two-game winning streak and feeling very confident with their eighth-ranked defense against the Pack. Let's talk injuries, first of all, where both teams sit heading into today's game. Packers will be out without both starting cornerbacks today. We know Jair Alexander is on IR. Kevin King will miss this game. And before you all stand up and cheer, he played very well last Sunday. Until he hurt his shoulder, which we all know Kevin King is a walking injury, and so he will miss this game, and that's a concern. I mean, if you're going to face any passing team without your two corners, let's go with Chicago because they're still struggling in their passing game despite having two very nice receivers. No Kevin King today, so Eric Stokes will get a big dose of Darnell Mooney, I would think. I also believe Rasul Douglas, who the Packers poached from the Cardinals practice squad a couple weeks ago, is likely to get a lot of playing time. I don't think we'll see Quentin Dunbar called up. He's another corner the Packers added. He's still on the practice squad. So no Kevin King, no Dennis Kelly, the tackle who did not make the trip, and Malik Taylor, Packer wide receiver, added to the reserve COVID list yesterday. Packers elevated wide receiver Juwan Winfrey to the active roster in place of Malik Taylor, who will miss this game as well. The only other injury to really pay attention to when the inactives come out at 10:30 is Elgton Jenkins, who did practice all week but was listed as questionable on the injury report and was called a game-time decision. Ian Rappaport this morning reported he is likely to play, which is a very good thing against the Chicago pass rush, obviously. I think also the fact that the Packers did not promote a lineman from the practice squad like they've done recently. When Jenkins has been out, usually Ben Braden gets activated. That did not happen this week. So I think it's very likely Elgton Jenkins is back. Center Josh Myers returns after missing the Bengals game. So the offensive line should be back to its pre-Bakhtiari return strength, I would think, with Jenkins back at left tackle, Runyon at left guard, Myers back at center. So that left side is a bit more fortified with Newman and Turner making up the right side. So those are the Packers' injuries. Bears are still without David Montgomery, their fine running back, who is going to miss a number of weeks. His backup, Damian Williams, also out, added to the COVID list. They're down to their third running back, Khalil Herbert, but he's not bad. He's a rookie. We'll talk about what that means for the Bears offense, but they're down their top two running backs. They listed 10 players as questionable Four of them are starters. Two of them, for sure, it sounds, are likely to play. Safety Eddie Jackson dealing with a knee injury. He was a full participant in practice. He's good to go. Wide receiver Allen Robinson was limited on Friday, listed as questionable with an ankle. Ian Rappaport also today reported Robinson likely to play today. So the Bears should have their best receiver on the field. The two most interesting ones, though, are Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks, two key components of that defense. Mack did not practice all week with a foot injury. Akeem Hicks returned to practice Friday with a groin limited. So those are the two guys I'll be watching most closely. When we talk to Jeff Hughes next segment, we'll see if he has any idea of the likelihood of Mack and Hicks, because those are obviously two very, very key players when it comes to the Chicago Bears defense, and hugely impact, at least how I feel about this game, whether those guys are on the field or not. But for the Bears, it's all about their offense and their new quarterback, Justin Fields, making his fourth start. It's been a rocky start. The fans are just apoplectic about the play calling because they've not really asked him to run the ball at all. And I think that'll change today. We've seen running quarterbacks give the Packers some problems already, and they haven't really faced a great running quarterback yet. But even in game one, remember Jameis Winston with his legs? He's not even a running quarterback, but they got some first downs and some key runs out of Winston. Jared Goff had some success. I think they'll take the, allow Justin Fields to run the football with the problems they're having running the ball with the running backs and the injuries. But he has not done that yet. And currently he's the 31 ranked passer in the NFL, passer rating of 64.5. The Bears are 30th in the league in scoring. They're 32nd in yards. They're trying to run the ball, run the clock, and do as little as possible in the passing game to put Justin Fields in jeopardy at all. They need to loosen things up and see what he can do. And I have a feeling we'll see that a bit today. They'll take some more downfield chances. What Fields does best is throw the ball deep. And I believe they'll take their chances with the Packers' issues on the back end at cornerback. They are a better run blocking offensive line than pass blocking. That does play into their play calling. They have a very average offensive line, might be kind, and they lost their right tackle, Jermaine Ifedi, to IR. So he's out. Elijah Wilkinson, a fifth-year guy out of UMass, steps in at right tackle. So offensively, they are limited. They'll try to take the ball away. They will try to count on their defense to put their offense in good field position, because offensively, they're really struggling. But Khalil Herbert, the rookie running back who will step in as the third stringer, he played last week, got 18 carries for 75 yards. So it's not like they got some guy that doesn't know what he's doing running the football. He will get a lion's share of the work today. And as I said, I would be surprised if Justin Fields doesn't do more running as well. Passing game, as I said, Darnell Mooney, their deep threat. I think Eric Stokes will be assigned to him. I don't know if he'll travel all over with Mooney, but the speed Mooney has is a problem, and Stokes can match that speed. Nobody else in the Packers secondary can do that. So I would watch for that. If Robinson is close to 100%, you know, he's a top 10 receiver in this league when he's got a quarterback throwing to him. We know that. He was that free agent that got away a few years ago. He certainly adds to the list of weapons that Fields has at his disposal. He'll love to have Robinson back. Jimmy Graham's still there. Cole Kmet, the tight end, though, that starts. It's just an offense that has not scored points. And, this Packers defense is down a number of key players, but they've still shown that, man, they're playing pretty good football. And I like Green Bay's defense's chances against a very workmanlike offense in Chicago. It's all about the development of Justin Fields. And I'm curious to ask Jeff in a few minutes the expectations Bears fans had with the rookie quarterback, the excitement certainly of what he can do, the amazing arm, the what we saw him do at Ohio State. You hope that, if you're not a Packer fan, you hope the Bears organization doesn't ruin this kid. He's got a lot of talent, and he's the only rookie quarterback with a winning record so far. But he hasn't played much, and he's learning on the fly. And on a windy day in Chicago with a Packer defense that, yep, down a few guys, but still playing pretty well, it'll be really interesting to see how he performs in a big test, his first big Packer game at Soldier Field today. We'll step away here. Phone calls coming up later in the program, so hang on, guys. We'll get to you. When we come back, it's Jeff Hughes from DeBears Blog to break down his favorite team. This is Packer Preview.
Well, I'm proud to be a Packer fan, the best football fan. fans in all the land are Packer.
The Fan.
Packer Previews brought to you by Hudson Ford.
We take this disgrace. Another Bears fan throwing insults in our face. The Packers are the greatest team to ever play the game. Even if from time to time they've been a little lame. How could you ever love a team with Jim McMahon? Not even Porky Pig was as big a ham. They got a reputation that's mostly based on luck. The Bears still suck. 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 They really, 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 really suck. Yes, the Bears still suck.
All right, back with you, classing it up as always on Packer Preview on the Fan. We play it every time the Packers play the Bears, but I had to save it for when our favorite Bears fan joined the program as we welcome in Jeff Hughes, author of Da Bears Blog, checking in with us on game day from Soldier Field. Jeff, good morning. If you want a copy of that song, I'm happy to send it to you.
You know, I'm always amazed in really all of the songs these fan bases come up with. They're all pretty terrible. And it's all because I think they were all written at the same period of the mid-1980s when music generally was terrible. And I think it's just time we update some of this stuff. Let's all get together. Let's get some musicians in a room. Let's write some new hate songs, and let's update this stuff for the modern times. Could you imagine a 18-year-old kid hearing that song and thinking, "What in the hell is this?"
Yeah, I'm hoping that's the case. I love it. The Happy Schnapps combo will always have a place on this program. Well, thanks for being with us on Packers Bears Day, and I can't wait. I'm so glad it's a noon kickoff. None of this primetime stuff. Let's go. Let's start with this. What were your hopes, expectations for this Bears season once the Fields pick was made and we got through training camp? What did you expect heading into this season?
It all recirculated to Fields. And when you draft a quarterback at that pick and you don't have one on the roster, the entire season became about, is this guy going to show us by the end of the season that he's the guy moving forward and give us hope for the future? And what really infuriated a lot of fans, myself included, and I wrote about this nonstop all summer, was that it didn't make sense for the coaching staff and for Matt Nagy not to give him a shot to straight up win the job to go into the season. They just didn't give him that opportunity. And it didn't take long once the season began to realize the limitations of an Andy Dalton offense. Now it's Fields' team. Really rough start against Cleveland. Signs of progress since. There's going to be ups and downs. There always is with rookie quarterbacks. But this season's not about wins and losses. And they're going to win some games because their defense is playing absolutely brilliant football. But it's not about wins and losses. They are not a title contender. They shouldn't pretend to think they're a title contender. They've got to make sure at the end of this year, the quarterback's the guy, and then start building around him.
What have you seen from Fields that gets you excited? And what have you seen from Fields that maybe gives you pause three starts in?
What gets you excited is just his propensity to throw it down the field. And his eyes are constantly downfield. You know, a lot gets made of the 4-4 speed. He is not a running quarterback. And for those expecting him to be Lamar Jackson or to run it 10 times a game, it's never going to happen. Even when he scrambles outside the pocket, the eyes stay downfield. Problem for the Bears is they don't have a lot of playmakers out there to get separation. So he's still throwing into pretty tight windows, even when he improvises and creates. So that's been the most exciting thing. And I think for him, I wouldn't even say it gives you pause. It's just what you have to go through. He's taking too many hits. And I think these young kids come into the league now. They're so used to, as the Ohio State quarterback, being able to run away from Indiana, being able to run away from Purdue. You can't run away from NFL defenders. You just can't. The edge rushers run just about as quick as you do. So you've got to start thinking about the long-term, the availability concept. I just want to see him take less hits because in this league, you see it with young quarterbacks year in, year out. You take enough hits, you're going to miss time. And the Bears, that's the death nail for the season. If he misses a substantial period of time, the season starts to wallow in sort of meaninglessness.
Yeah, and you lose the development you get that rookie year.
Yeah.
You know, I get that totally. So the Nagy offense has been very careful to not put him in harm's way. They want to run the football down your throat, and now you're down to your third-string running back, who was effective against the Raiders last week. I don't know what to make of that Raider game. I didn't see it. We know what was going on in Vegas inside that organization. You can speak better to what that game looked like. Did you feel like the Raiders were in disarray, or did the Bears just take it to them? But Herbert gets the call, and you know, you wonder how effective that running game will be today if it's just him and not much else. And if you say Fields is not going to be asked to run too much, I just wonder if the game plan has to change a little.
Well, so the Raiders game was an interesting game because the game always felt like one that the Bears were going to find a way to lose. But the defense just didn't allow them to do that. They harassed Carr all day. And the Bears sort of put the offense in neutral and said, we're not going to do anything we don't need to because this team can't score enough points against us. And they were right. Khalil Herbert is a good, solid running back. I don't know what he's like in rush protection, in blitz protection. I don't think he can catch the ball and be dynamic out of the backfield. And, I mean, maybe he can. We just haven't seen it at the pro level
through
five games. So they're going to bring Artavis Pierce in. Artavis Pierce can play. I think he's a little bit more of a scat back type. He'll be on the field today. But they're going to be – listen, this offense was going to be the sort of ground and pound of David Montgomery, complemented with Damian Williams outside catching passes. And without both of those guys, it's going to look different. I don't think the Packers are going to allow the Bears to line up on 1st and 10 and then 2nd and 7 and pound the football right up the gut with Khalil Herbert. I mean, if they do, it's malpractice. So they're going to make the Bears throw, and I think this is a week to throw early, throw often, and try to use the pass game to open up the run game. It's not something that Matt Nagy's offense tends to like to do, but when you're this limited in the backfield, it seems like the sound strategy.
Yeah, it does. Green Bay's down their top two cornerbacks, so if you're going to do it, you know, go against some guys that maybe aren't so sure of themselves. We're talking with Jeff Hughes, the Bears blog. You can check out his blog and his delusional takes on his favorite team. Jeff, let's talk about the defensive side of the ball with back to sort of a Vic Fangio style of defense. The Pagano era is over, and Desai, the former safeties coach, is running things, and obviously he's got those guys' attention. They're the eighth-ranked defense. All those studs, when they're in there, are doing their job. Getting sacks, but maybe not because they lead the league in sacks, as you know, but the pressure doesn't come often. It's like when they get pressure, they get sacks. Otherwise, it hasn't been there, it seems like, play in and play out. Let's start with this. Mack and Hicks are both questionable. Very little practice between the two. All your other guys seem like that are on the injured list seem like they're going to play, at least the players of note. Do those two guys play? And what has excited you about the defense and its change from 20 to 21?
Well, Mack's going to play, and so is Hicks. Mack's been questionable for 3 years, so I would be wary of those designations.
But he didn't practice at all this week, right?
He does. I'd be surprised if he practices again this year.
Okay.
It's just wear and tear over what he puts his body through. He doesn't need to go out there and practice against Elijah Wilkinson on a Thursday to get ready for a game. What I would say is what Sean Desai has done is put the aggressiveness back in the unit. Chuck Pagano's a good man. But he's a laid-back, passive play caller. And too often last year, the Bears were on their heels defensively. Sean Desai has recognized the flaw in this Bears defense, and that is they don't have any corners. They've got Jalen Johnson's a hell of a player, but you get past him, and every other guy in that secondary is beatable. So what he's decided to do is say, listen, if we're going to be beatable back there, we might as well go all in trying to take down quarterbacks. And I'll say this about these numbers. I saw them posted during the week. Be careful with pressure rates, because right now what offenses are doing to the Bears is they're throwing the ball quickly. And if you take the snap and throw a quick slam, how the heck are you supposed to get pressure on that play?
Mm-hmm.
You're not. And that feeds into pressure rate, where the Bears have been dynamic. 3rd and 5 or more, big plays. That's where they're getting pressure. That's where the pressure stats are most important. And I actually would say Desai has done enough now to get people in that organization thinking he can bring this defense back to the elite level of 3 years ago. And if he does that, the expectations for this season will change if Fields makes the progressions that he is expected to make. Again, not a title contender, but maybe go from this idea that they were a 7 or an 8 win team to a 10-7 team or a 9-8 team, which in the NFC is going to be plenty to get you into the playoffs.
Yeah, it's going to get you close for sure. Yep.
So, but that's also what makes today such a pivotal game in the Bears season, which is if they win today, they take first place in the division. They go to 4-2. They are going to then be considered, not a lock, but they're going to be considered one of the favorites in the conference to get to the postseason. So the season changes if they win today. Lose a close one, who knows? Lose a close one, the thing could go either way, probably mediocre 500. If Rodgers blows them out again, I think they'll start asking some serious organizational questions. But that's why the game is pivotal today. This is the first litmus test for the 2021 season.
Next four for the Bears at Tampa, 49ers at home, at Pittsburgh, Baltimore at home after the bye. So, granted, San Francisco and Pittsburgh don't look like what we expected them to look like, but that's a tough four-game stretch out of this one, too. So I think we'll know, certainly by the Bears' bye, where their season goes. We'll let you go with this one. Jeff Hughes, the Bears blog, kind enough to join us from his palatial home in New York City. Why do I like the Bears this week? That was your most recent blog. You believe in your squad today. Why do you like the Bears this week?
I just have not liked what I've seen from the Packers through five games. I think that the Packers are overly reliant right now on Devontae Adams. The offense seems to be funneling entirely through him. Could have easily lost the Bengals game, could have easily lost the Niners game. If they lose those two games, we're talking about this team differently. And I think this pass rush for the Bears with Robert Quinn has been the best player on the Bears through 5 weeks. If this pass rush for the Bears shows up today and does what they've been doing, they're going to keep this Packers team in that low to mid-20s. And if they do that, they should have an opportunity to win this game. I just think that unless Nagy is super conservative and does not want Fields to chuck it 35 times, I think the Bears are going to have tons of opportunities to make plays. You know, you're down to Smith, you're down the corners. This is the week to let Fields throw it 35 times. If he throws three picks, who cares? He's a rookie. Go after the secondary and score points. It shapes up like the kind of game the Bears can poach, and I like them to do it if the pass rush is there.
You do know that Aaron Rodgers does not lose at Soldier Field, correct?
Oh, I'm aware. Okay. I'm aware.
I just wanted to make sure you
But listen, Aaron Rodgers has 1 foot out of that organization right now and 1 foot in Pittsburgh. So I would say
Pittsburgh.
I think that's where he's headed. And I think this is the game. The Bears can look at this and say, if this is going to be Rodgers' last game as a Packer in Soldier Field, that should be enough motivation to say, let's send him out with a loss.
Well, I'll put Denver and Miami ahead of Pittsburgh in my own mind. I think those places are more likely. But he does not have 1 foot.
I will say there's a lot of talk, though, about him and Tomlin having this great relationship. And that when Ben goes, Tomlin's going to make the full court press because Tomlin does not want a young quarterback. So, and I would tell you, if Rodgers could ever go win a Super Bowl with the Steelers and the Packers, what a legacy that would be.
Well, so, I'll say this. As much as you want him to have 1 foot out the door, not so fast, my friend. He is all in this season, and there's a long way to go. But I will give you this. He has struggled with pressure so far, which has been a bit of a surprise. And I do expect Green Bay to do what other teams have done, and that is get rid of the ball quickly, get the ball in Randall Cobb's hands, A.J. Dillon, Aaron Jones, and try to get that pass rush off his back. Enjoy the game today. Thank you for your time. I love the information. And good luck to your squad every other week except these two against the Pack.
All right, take care.
Jeff Hughes, the Bears blog, kind enough to join us on Packer Preview. When we come back, we'll take your calls and we'll talk about the matchup when the Packers have the ball against that high-flying Bears defense. Final segment of Packer Preview coming up right after these. Should have played this song for Jeff Hughes.
Packer Preview is brought to you by Hudson Ford and JTR Roofing.
I love my Green Bay Packers, who won the first Super Bowls ever played. I love my Green Bay Packers. Pity Chicago, Detroit, and Tampa Bay.
Throw in the vibe.
They all come up as Likers. We take our opposition and crunch them like they're crackers.
right, back with you. 7:43, final segment. Today's edition of Packer Preview, getting you set for Packers Bears Soldier Field. Noon kickoff meeting number 203 for the NFL's oldest rivals as Green Bay looks to put some separation between themselves and the rest of the NFC North. Chicago wins, and they're technically in front, leading the North at 4-2 by tiebreaker. Long way to go. And obviously, Green Bay has had lots of success in Soldier Field over the years. But they're going to need to get the offense cooking a little bit. I think the biggest surprise for me through five games has been the ineffectiveness of the Packers offense in the red zone. They were really historically good last year, leading the league at 80% touchdowns in the red zone. And right now they rank 27th in the NFL, converting just 55% of their red zone trips to the end zone, which is really a bit of a head scratcher. What's changed? Well, I mean, the offensive line has been in kind of makeshift mode a little bit. But other than that, they're just not on their game. And how frustrating was it last week? You know, you get the bomb to Devontae Adams, sets you up, and you settle for three. Aaron Jones breaks a 57-yard run, and you settle for three. Even the interception in overtime, where I know you just needed three, but man, on a day Crosby was really struggling, they couldn't move the ball. And that's just something that has to change as we get, you know, more into this season. I think it will. I'd like to see Robert Tonyan more involved in the red zone like we saw a year ago. And even Devontae, who had a lot of his touchdowns come in the red zone, it's just been a lot more difficult so far. So something to watch. And obviously defensively, they need to get a whole lot better in the red zone because you can't get any worse than how Green Bay's defense has played in the red zone. 13 visits, 13 touchdowns. I mean, that's just, it seems almost impossible. Now, you know, 13 trips over five games, that's not terrible, but that needs to improve, that's for sure. It starts with the running game. We just haven't seen the running game as effective. And again, I think the offensive line revolving door plays into that. Aaron Jones has never had a big game against the Chicago Bears. He averages less than 4 yards per carry. He's never rushed for more than 90 yards against the Chicago Bears. He'll share time again with A.J. Dillon. They look like a terrific duo. But if you're going to sort of keep that pass rush at bay a little bit, you got to get the run game going. And Matt LaFleur certainly knows that.
I think any time with the run game, we always say it takes all 11. It truly does. You have to allow a back to get going up front, typically, unless he does what he did, you know, last week. But typically, the line has to do a great job. The tight ends have to do a great job of allowing the run to start to go. And then a lot of those home run runs are done by the receivers blocking their responsibility in the secondary. I mean, that's a big part of it. So we got to continue to work, really, everybody, just making sure everybody's doing their job. And when they do that and nobody gets beat, then typically you got an opportunity to spring those long runs.
Yeah, that'll be a big, big storyline today, whether Green Bay can get positive first and second down run plays to prevent that defense from just pinning their ears back and going after Aaron Rodgers, who I mentioned earlier has not been good under pressure, surprisingly bad under pressure so far through five games. It's not what you expect. Again, I don't know how comfortable he is when he sees different guys playing. You got Josh Nyman at left tackle. You got rookies in front of you. And I think that plays into it. I think he'll get more comfortable if Jenkins is back at left tackle today and the Packers have that line that they want out there outside of Bakhtiari, who's probably three or four games away from returning to his spot at left tackle. So I think you'll see Rodgers more comfortable because he's comfortable playing at Soldier Field. He loves playing there. He loves going up against the Bears. And, you know, while he has struggled against Vic Fangio's schemes in the past, that usually doesn't equate to losses against the Chicago Bears. All right, you've all been patient. We'll try to get through all the calls in our final 8 or 9 minutes here. Let's start with our buddy, old Southside guy. Good morning.
Davey, good morning. First of all, quickly, congratulations to those Minnetonka Skippers. 6-1, nice victory over Centennial. Where they were really able to run the ball. It must be because of the success of that offensive line.
Thanks, Southside. Yep, left guard Dillon, who wears T.J. Lang's number 70, he had a good game. The Tonka offensive line played well, and, yeah, they shut down a fifth-ranked Centennial pretty easily. That was a fun Friday night.
Yeah, keep it up.
Thank you.
As to the Packers, Davey, I'm going to disagree with your Chicago writer there. I don't see Fields trying opening up and throwing the ball 35 times. I think he's going to try and do a Lamar Jackson. I really believe he's going to run the ball at least 10 times or more. and mix in that pass. Two guys I'm concerned about on the Bears that always play well against us. Akeem Hicks really kind of stuffs up that middle for us. That's why Aaron Jones has really not had a lot of success against the Bears. And Aaron Robinson on defense. I hope also this is a game that we see Jaden Smith out there. If Fields is going to be doing some of those option runs, we're going to need speedy linebackers. And hopefully Smith can complement DeAndre Campbell and hold him down. Offensively, let's get more than Adams involved in the passing game. Otherwise, go Pack, go.
Yep, thanks, Southside. I had Jalen Smith in my notes. I do expect him to make his Packer debut today, and I agree. I do think they see what Justin Fields can do with his legs. I understand Jeff Hughes saying that he's not a running quarterback, but he can run. And they don't have a lot of offensive options today, down to their third-string running back. They don't have their usual pass-catching running back. Tariq Cohen's still in IR as well. So, yeah, I do think you're going to see Justin Fields run today. I think Green Bay's better equipped than they've been in years to handle running quarterbacks now, with Devondre Campbell really showing that he's the leader of this defense when it comes to tackles. Chris Barnes, when he's out there, is very good. You add Jalen Smith, and you've got three athletic linebackers, something that Green Bay's defense has not had. You're right about Akeem Hicks. It's very difficult to run against the Bears when Hicks is out there, though he is questionable and barely practiced with a groin injury. Mr. Hughes does believe he'll be out there. That does make that run defense much stouter and more challenging. Green Bay is going to have to use the running backs in the receiving game a lot. Those pass rushers and Mack and Quinn, they have 9 sacks between them. They're going to be coming after Rodgers hard. Those guys are going to sell out. And there'll be opportunities to drop things off to Jones and Dillon and let those guys do their thing in the passing game. Dave, Maple Grove, good morning.
Good morning, kind sir. How are you, Dave?
Doing great.
Great. Couple of just things on the receiver thing. Randall Cobb maybe started to last week, but we don't have a receiver that's yet stepped up and taken the number two wide receiver role. It's been kind of a mishmash instead. I'd like to see a receiver step up, take that number two wide receiver role each week.
Yeah, well, you know, Marquez Valdes-Scantling returns next week from IR. That'll help. I don't think they'll ever have a real clear-cut number two. The way the Bengals were defending, it was foolish not to throw to Adams. If you're not going to double-team him, you're going to let Adams go one-on-one. Just keep feeding him until the defense reacts, and Cincinnati didn't. I don't think Chicago will do that. I think they'll have Jalen Johnson, their one true reliable corner, follow Adams around, but they'll have help for him as well. Likely it'll be Tayshaun Gibson, the free safety, providing some help. Yeah, somebody else has to step up. Cobb has 9 career touchdowns against the Chicago Bears. That's 3rd in Packer history. He's 1 behind Billy Houghton, and I expect him to hit the goal line and the end zone. He saves his best games for the Bears, and he made maybe the biggest catch last week, that 30-yard hookup from Rodgers in the middle of the field. And I want to see Tonyan more involved, too. So, yeah, you're right. You can't just rely on Adams. But when defenses almost dare you to, you know, you give what the defense gives you.
Yeah, no, couldn't agree more with that. Just like to see when A. Rodgers going back, going through the progressions that he has, a clear cut number two at some point in time. Let's go ahead and win this thing. Let's go ahead and win it on a game that's not as close as the final score indicates, 38-31.
Wow, that's a lot of points. Thanks, Dave. I don't think we're going to see anything near 70 points in today's game. To Shakopee we go. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It was good to see all the Packer preview listeners last week at the Park Tavern. Some of the people came up to me and asked me where the head cheese was, and we're going to have a party this year.
Well, I was in the Barca Lounger at home, comfortable. But, yes, we're working on a date for a Packer preview party later in the season, so more to come on that.
Sounds good. Kind of what I was going to talk about, you've already talked about, you know, we need to run the ball. Doing this straight back stuff against this rush today is going to be a problem. And then with Fields, the defense needs to get into his head. They need to rush him and make mistakes. He's a young quarterback, prone to mistakes. That happens. Green Bay wins. And let's just, like you said, let's just get some red zone corrections done, both defensive and offensively. And next week, I'm going to be in Green Bay for the Skins game. Washington Football Club.
Yes. Well, enjoy. That's great. Should be an interesting game next week when the Washington football team comes to town. We'll close out with some comedy, as we always do, as we welcome Kane to the program. Good morning.
Hey, Dave, been out of the loop a while, you know, haven't been able to listen. I did do the decency to a podcast last week's show just to see if anything went down. And what I ascertained was you don't know what time your own show starts.
That's correct.
And you consider your new producer's contribution to the show nothing in the big picture. I guess more things change, more they stay the same. But I will say you knocked her out of the park today with your guest. He was tremendous. So thanks for that. Anyway, I just got two quick points this week. I'll throw them at you rapid fire. First off, congrats on finally beating an above 500 team last week. Wasn't pretty, but the combined record of the other teams you've beaten is 4-11. So think about that. Second, can we just pump the brakes on this last dance stuff? I mean, doesn't there have to be a first dance before there can be a last one? Jordan Pippen won 5 NBA titles heading into their last season. Devontae Adams was in high school the last time Rodgers played in the Super Bowl. I mean, what the hell's going on out here, man?
All right, we'll let you go with that. There have been lots of dances with Aaron Rodgers over the years. Only one ring, but lots of dances. They'll be dancing today as well. Packers do not lose to the Chicago Bears. 17-3 since the 2010 championship game. It continues today. A rookie quarterback is not taking down Aaron Rodgers at Soldier Field. Call it 23-17. Packers improved to 5-1. The Kings of the North, at least through this point in the season. Enjoy the game wherever you watch it. And until next week, go Packers.